Welcome to the UCSF Sports Medicine Podcast, 6 to 8 weeks, Perspectives in Medicine. During our program, we continue to cover a variety of hot topics in the sports medicine world and more.
Welcome everyone to our UCSF Sports Medicine Podcast, 6 to 8 weeks with myself, Dr. Nira Pandya, Dr. Brian Feely, and Dr. Drew Lansdowne. One of the things that's been a hot topic of discussion is the increasing number of ulnar collateral ligament tears in pitchers. Whereas we saw 10 to 15 years ago, we'd see pitchers throwing complete games and maybe you'd hear about a couple Tommy John surgeries. We're now seeing younger and younger pitchers get these injuries and even getting their second injuries in terms of a revision UCL reconstruction. So the question really is, why is this occurring? Where is this coming from? Is there anything that we can do to change this trend, particularly with more and more pitchers losing time? Brian, is this something that you're seeing as well too? Is this a true trend or is this something that's just being kind of more noticed by the media?
Absolutely. This has definitely been a trend in the last few years. And I think when you look at the data, the length and time, not only that people are developing UCL injuries or Tommy John injuries, they are also developing elbow strains and shoulder strains at a much greater rate. So if you look at the amount of time on the what used to be the disabled list, but now is the injured list, it's increased nearly 100% for pitchers since the late 2000s, over the last decade. When you compare that to how position players are, so we have a nice internal control, only about 51% increase for position players. Now, the caveat to that is because you can go on the 10-day injured list as opposed to the 15-day injured list, there is sort of like this ability to put players on for a shorter period of time. But 100% increase is a pretty big increase. So we're definitely seeing more elbow injuries. We're seeing more elbow surgeries for sure. And even though sometimes it's, are the players just talking about it more? And certainly is media talking about it more? We are definitely seeing a higher injury rate for serious injuries and more mild injuries, but are taking players out for time.
Drew, people hear about these UCL injuries and kind of know that people are getting surgery, but what are pitchers actually feeling? Like, what are the things that can signal, or is it just pain? Is it numbness? Is it tingling? Like, what happens when someone gets a UCL injury?
One of the most common symptoms is pain, and pain at the medial or the inside part of the elbow. So whenever the pitcher is bringing his arm back, that UCL is under stress, and that can just cause pain if that structure isn't competent. The other thing is that pitchers can start to lose velocity or the ability to locate a pitch. It can be as simple as, you know, over time, it's like, I can't throw as hard, I'm not as accurate, just something is off and I can't quite figure out how to throw again, just because you probably have more play in the elbow or your body's kind of protecting against the pain that it knows it'll feel. Sometimes it is also that there's an acute injury that somebody throws one pitch, they feel a pop, and you know that was their ligament tearing at that exact point.
There obviously are other things that can cause medial elbow pain as well too. And you know, a lot of people come in hoping maybe it's just the flexor pronator strain. Maybe in a younger kid, it's kind of irritation of the growth plate. But obviously there's increasing concern that that could be the case, particularly when people are throwing year round. Brian, do you think this has to do a lot with, you know, kind of the way kids are throwing at younger ages, or is it just kind of how they're throwing in the majors? Where do you think this is coming from?
You jumped the gun a little bit. I think the big problem isn't now, it's what happened 15 years ago. I think when you look at what happened 15, probably 20 years ago. So let's say you are one of the people that is recovering from a UCL reconstruction now, whether you're Jake DeGrom, Robbie Ray, Felix Bautista, these are people that were pitching all the time. These are in the era that we started telling kids, you've got to specialize in pitching. When these kids were young, they started throwing as much as possible for multiple teams. They had showcases and their overall volume went up. They were treated, not in a bad way, as special athletes. These truly are the most elite of most elite athletes. And their elbows have been at risk for 20 years. And this is the final common result. And I think we'll talk about all the other risk factors in the last couple of years, but I think they fall way much lower on the list of risk factors compared to the fact that these people have been throwing really, really hard for 20 plus years on a ligament that is not designed to throw a baseball. So when you talked about flexor pronator strains, you're talking about the muscles that sit on top of the ulnar collateral ligament. These are designed to protect your ulnar collateral ligament, but over 20 years of protecting the ligament, they're going to naturally fatigue. So by this time, there's only so much that these muscles can do. Eventually, they're going to fatigue, and that ligament is naturally going to be at more risk. Then once a lot of these pitchers have already had their first surgery by the time they're in college or early in their majors, now you're talking about these people that are looking at their second surgery when they're 25, 26, 27, 28. And I think that's what we're looking at now. It's almost like a natural progression where they have their first, they get through, they make it to their majors. They're the lucky ones. They made it through their younger years without injury. They get their first surgery in their majors. They survive that first recovery. And now they're going to look at their second injury and recovery. And then the ones that really do well are the ones that recover from their second Tommy John surgery.
Yeah. Well, then to kind of play devil's advocate, maybe Drew, you can answer this question. You know, hasn't the pitch clock really been the main reason? I mean, there wasn't a pitch clock years ago, and that really has, you know, if you're throwing more quickly, you have less time for your muscles to recover. Isn't that the big factor? I mean, that seems to be where, to the common person, yeah, that's probably the reason why you're getting these UCL tears and not the fact that you're throwing more at a young age, which shouldn't that technically also strengthen your arm?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, I think athletes in general are often resistant to changes in routine, of course. Placing the clock, it does make the pitcher, you know, hurry up, kind of move along. And then, I mean, some guys were taking, like, that's the reason there is the pitch clock. Some guys were taking an extremely long time between pitches. But I think it's a little hard to believe that that's the cause for what we're seeing. It was Dan Zembrowski at Fangraphs. You know, they looked at like the pitchers with the largest change of pace and didn't really seem to pan out between those who, you know, used to pitch fast and those who used to pitch slow. Now, you know, having this more similar approach for timing of throwing. And I would have a hard time thinking that that's what's driving our, you know, our recent increase in UCL tears. What do you guys think?
Well, Nirav, let me ask you a question. How do you practically counsel parents and kids on throwing? We know the data. We talked about this a lot. We talked about this in our episode. I think it was almost episode, I think it was episode 99 when we talked about collateral ligament injuries. How do you counsel a parent about when is it too much to throw?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. I think in general, kind of globally, what I tell them is that if you're having pain when throwing, that's a sign that you should not be throwing anymore. And I think there's this perception, particularly amongst in Little League, that it's okay to throw. Part of throwing is you should have some pain. And I think that any degree of pain, number one, that's a warning sign, particularly for the younger kids. And then number two, there are pitch count recommendations that are pretty well established for Little League. The problem is that who's actually keeping track of those pitch counts? If these kids are playing for one team, one coach is keeping track of them. If they're going in the backyard and throwing, they're working with their private coach. They're then playing on another travel team. So I think it's really the parents kind of taking ownership over that. And then most importantly, it's taking breaks. You know, like I think kids should be not doing baseball year round and pitching year round. And that's where that wear and tear comes from. So it's number one, it's the making sure you don't have pain. Number two, keeping your pitch counts under control. And number three, doing other things in the off season that naturally takes care of it. I mean, everyone has this conception that Nolan Ryan, just all he did was all year round, just going through. And that's why he threw fast and played for a long time. But a lot of these pitchers did nothing for 7-8 months of the year, you know, and then they went into the season. I think it's incorporating that arm rest concept. And as you mentioned, just letting these parents know that even though we've evolved in terms of training and muscle strength and flexibility, the UCL is still the UCL and it can only take so much strain. So you don't want that to be an issue for these kids.
I thought this was a really interesting study. It came out probably 10, 11 years ago because it was one of the first studies in the Orthopedic Journal of Sports Medicine, which is the sister journal for AJSM. So they looked at players in the major leagues and essentially where they grew up in the United States because they didn't have great data for the Dominican and other hotbeds of baseball. But then they looked at where, when they had Tommy John surgery, where were they from? And it found out, they found that the majority of the people came from the Sun Belt. So you were much, much more likely, if you made it to the majors, to come from the southern half of the U.S. where they can play baseball all year round because you don't have to go indoors. You don't go play indoor sports in the winter. And it kind of makes sense. If you can pitch outside all year round and play winter baseball, you can go outside and pitch. You can do these showcases in the winter. You're more likely to not have that forced rest of a basketball season or an indoor season playing hockey or doing something else or going ice fishing or whatever people do in Minnesota that's not pitching. And I thought one of those simple natural history experiments are really nice to see that these forced breaks cause people to have these protective effects, probably what we're seeing 10, 15, 20 years down the line. And that should be a study we do again now to show these effects are now compounded. Now that we're seeing a decade later, the compound effect of what that industry looked like a decade later.
And then one of the things I think probably we talk about all these things besides year-round sports is not just the fact that kids are throwing year-round, but it's this emphasis on velocity. Maybe, Drew, can you talk a little bit about that? I think that that's something that is, people are learning more and more about. So it's not just the fact that you're throwing a lot, but it's that emphasis. I mean, Greg Maddux, there was an interview with him where he talked about how he was able to preserve his arm because he wasn't trying to throw as hard as possible every time, but he was talking about where he was putting his pitches. You know, it was kind of more the mind battle of like how you're going to get this person out as opposed to just, I'm going to throw 102 miles an hour and get the ball past the batter.
I totally agree on that one. And I think it's the emphasis on velocity and then also on spin rate. That's another, you know, big part that can potentially be putting a lot of torque on the elbow. And it's great because we have so many new technologies to look at these variables. And so we can track velocity, we can track spin rate, can, you know, see how, you know, you can like create different pitches and shape them differently and all these like really innovative approaches. But it's probably with that we're maximizing everything you can do with a pitch at the expense of the elbow. And I think that's probably the biggest root cause. And I mean, you see all these guys going to, you know, different places in the off season and like training in these ways to boost these variables. And it's, you know, getting that like 110% out of the arm that it probably puts the UCL at risk for failure.
Yeah, but I think we'll get there because I think you look at it right now, we're focused on all these different metrics where we're focusing on spin rate, where the ball is spinning and all these things we can get off the ball because you can load the ball with all these different markers. But what we're missing right now is how we measure everything else off the body. And what we know is that your trunk mechanics and how much you're pushing with your back leg, how you're loading and landing is as important, if not more important, than how you're using your upper extremity. So I think what we're going to find is that all the machine learning algorithms that allowed us to accurately measure spin rate and how to get that instant feedback on the ball and exit velocity and all the other things that make baseball so wonderful, all the things that we can nerd out with on the ball, we're going to be able to do with the pitchers and get that instant feedback and how the pitchers are doing. And that hopefully will allow us to see in time how pitchers are performing and be able to say, oh, that pitcher's at risk based on how they're leaning with the last few pitches. We need to get them out sooner rather than later. And they're showing signs of fatigue that our eyes can't pick up and they may not even be able to pick up. And that's my hope for some of these more advanced kinematic measures that we're going to be able to pick up with all these cameras that they now have at the stadiums.
I think the real question is, how fast did you throw, Drew, when you were in high school?
Not that fast. Yeah. But I still hurt my elbow.
Brian, they make you in charge of, you know, I know MLB is looking at like, they have all these people looking at injuries and someone told you, how could you change this epidemic? What would you tell them? Like what would be the tangible steps you would take to decrease it?
I would do nothing at the MLB level. I think the team doctors, the athletic trainers, they already do a great job. I think from the ground up, the MLB does a really solid job at trying to limit injury rate for a variety of different reasons. They've put a huge amount of time, effort, money into putting their best possible product on the field. Players are a finely tuned machine that have in their own best interest and their team's best interest in performing at their best possible level for as long as possible. So if I was the MLB, I would invest in youth baseball and I would make a concerted effort to take their stars and make public service announcements, get them at grassroots to tell the youth baseball groups, especially the coaches, stop making kids throw all the time. I would try to eliminate the showcases. I would put more effort into educating the coaches and the players and the parents. Is it going to solve everything? Absolutely not. But I think data is really, really important. And if you look at a lot of the pitchers that are in the majors now, they weren't pitchers in high school, or they were pitchers plus something else, and they weren't catchers. Catchers were catchers. And that's been shown time and again. Catchers were really good catchers from the get-go because they were the smartest people on the field. They've been catchers forever. They were never pitchers. And I think really you don't want to change what's going on in the majors, because you don't, like, all those things aren't going to change much. I think that, you know, I think there's the idea that changing somebody, that how fast they pitch by 3 seconds is going to make a huge difference. I think it's too late. I think, you know, whether or not we can put substances on the ball, I think is a little bit crazy. I don't know if you guys saw, but the former head of PayPal is coming out with the enhancement games, the all enhancement games. I think this is a bad idea. Curious. I did sign Drew up for it.
Perfect.
You can take all the steroids you want under a medical professional's advice to see, like, basically how bigger, faster, stronger you can get. But the problem is we don't know what the 5, 10, 15 year downstream effects are. And we do know that for the most part, they are going to lead to higher injury risk and higher downstream consequences to your cardiovascular system, your brain, et cetera. And even having a doctor that says, yeah, go for it. Also, I'm going to get my name published nationally. It's usually not going to be good. So I don't think these little tweaks at the MLB level, like letting people put more spin on the ball by putting more goop on the ball, is going to be beneficial. I think it has to be protect your players by looking at the 10 to 15 year old range and do that with information, just like everything else. Also, thank you for naming me Czar. And since you're wearing the suit today, I thought you would be named Czar of baseball, but I'm glad to be named Czar of baseball.
And then for that, there are going to be inevitably a subset of pitchers who get injured. How do you feel, Drew, that the way we treat these injuries, you know, in terms of UCL surgery, their, you know, internal braces and revision surgery, like, where do you feel like the gains are being made in terms of people returning and what we're doing surgery for these people?
Yeah, that's a really interesting area, because over the past 5-10 years, there's been this rise in the UCL repair. And it used to be that that didn't work, and that just sewing it back together was not sufficient and could not get back to playing at a high level and throwing at a high level. But with some improvements in techniques, like, now it is possible to do a UCL repair and expect a successful outcome. And the biggest part of that is the rehab can often be a lot shorter. So you can get these pitchers back with almost a less disruptive surgery, earlier recovery, a lot of benefits there. And the other part too is that people have gotten more comfortable with repair surgery and then also revision surgery. So just, it used to be, you know, back in the day that you tore your UCL and you were done. Like, that was the end of your throwing career. And then came the reconstruction. And now, you know, there are some techniques for revision reconstruction. So it's kind of dangerous in one regard that we're continuing to push people back to throwing and have this happen to where they need a revision. But then it's also, you know, exciting in the other that, you know, if the problem does recur, we do have some options in a lot of cases to be able to successfully take care of it.
But really important, this isn't something you should be driving your child to.
No,
this
definitely
is something
not.
Is okay if you're a major league pitcher, and it's okay if it happens, but it's not the goal. The goal is not to get your kid to blow out their elbow so that they can get the surgery. This right. is not increasing your likelihood of pitching. And I think sometimes that's a misnomer, that get the Tommy John, pitch faster. This is not something that often happens. This is, you are the exception, not the norm.
Yeah. And I think always better to avoid having any kind of elbow surgery is not a good thing, whether you're an amateur player or a professional player. I think in our field, at least, this like innovative direction is pretty exciting.
Lots we could talk more about UCL surgeries and pitching injuries. And once again, everyone, please check out our podcast, 6 to 8 Weeks, at 6to8weekspodcast.com. We have lots of great episodes and guests. We did podcasts with Emily Oster, Pablo Torre, and our most listened to podcast, Chris Paul's Injury History. You know, feel free to check out those old podcasts and check us out on Amazon, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the UCSF Sports Medicine Podcast, 6 to 8 Weeks, Perspectives in Medicine. What do you think of this topic? Connect with us now. In addition to finding our contact form, you'll also find our social media links in our entire 6 to 8 Weeks episode archive. Help us grow our listenership by liking, subscribing, and sharing everywhere. We're eager to hear from you, and we'll be sending you more great thought-provoking content in less than 6 to 8 weeks.